starting in verse number 1, and then we'll go down to verse 12, and verse 12 holds our thought as we shared with you this morning. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, and took up the bed, and went forth before them all. Insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this reading of the Word of God once again. And Lord, we pray you'll help us tonight with a special anointing and a special touch. Lord, that makes preaching effective. And Lord, I need that special anointing tonight that would energize the inner man, dear God, to preach. Lord, it is not my flesh that is called to preach, but the call resides in the inner man. And dear Father, I pray that the spiritual man, Father, would step to the forefront and, dear God, take over. And, Lord, that you'd use us tonight even beyond ourselves. And Lord, we'd be careful to give you the praise and the glory. Lord, I pray you'll help us to be focused tonight. Lord, our mind is, Lord, many times cluttered with problems and pressures and difficulties. Lord, it's just, and preaching, a lot of it is mental. Being able to be focused with our attention, be able to be focused in our mind, and be able to think, Lord, the thoughts that you want us to think. And I pray you'll help us tonight. I need that. Lord, as we are coming to the second service now of our Youth Sunday, and Lord, I thank you for the youth that has participated and the youth that you have entrusted us with. And certainly we want to be faithful to pray for them. We want to be faithful to preach to them. Lord, we want to be faithful to live in front of them, dear God, a life, Lord, that they would desire to have for themselves. And Lord, I just pray you'll empower them. Lord, that there will be spiritual giants raised up from among these young people. Lord, that there'll be young people, Lord, that will stand up with courage and confidence and, dear Father, purpose in their heart that they're going to make a mark for Jesus in this generation. Lord, that they'll not be intimidated and shy and backwards and say nothing and do nothing. But I pray you will encourage them, dear God, that the time is now. The time is now for them to step up and be spiritual and to serve the Lord and to pray, Lord, what will your will involve in my life? What is your will for my life? Lord, I pray you'll help them not to wait till they're later in years. Lord, till they've wasted some of their early life. But I pray that even now, Lord, regardless of what age they are, that this will be the day, this will be the night, God, that they, Lord, in a sense, divorce themselves from this world and public opinion and the pursuit, Lord, of pleasure in this world and will seek to honor God with every breath they breathe and every step they take and every day they live. Father, I pray you'll help me as a preacher to encourage them, to preach to them. And, oh God, I pray they'll shall know, Lord, that I love them and that I really do care for them, dear God, for I tell them the truth. Father, have your way now, we pray. Help the parents, Lord, to be encouraged. God, give the parents the energy, the strength, the desire, dear God, to make a difference in the home and reveal, Lord, the realness of their profession, even in the secrecy of their home. Father, have your way. Lord, touch these young people in a mighty way. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Mark chapter number 2, verse number 12, I want to try, if we could tonight, I want you to try to mentally get inside this story and see what kind of the faces of these people look like when they actually saw this man sick of palsy, this man paralyzed, this man that absolutely had no ability of his own. He could not do anything for himself. In fact, if he got anywhere from one place to another, he had to be carried. He was an impossible case. He was irreversible. There was no human cure. And then he has an encounter with the Lord, and the Lord had the power to raise him up. And here, who once had to be carried, the man that once had to be tended to, left, on every hand, here he is, my friend, told of the Lord to arise and to take up his bed and walk. And then the Bible says, and he was commissioned, of course, to go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went before them all. Now, can you imagine what look was on their face? Can you imagine how big their eyes was? Can you imagine how many of them, their mouth just dropped open as they saw right in front of them the power of God demonstrated, and how that this man who was once a paralyzed man has now been set free. Hallelujah, what a blessing. What a blessing. And the Bible says, of course, that when this man was raised and took up his bed and went forth, the Bible said he went forth before them all. If God does something in your life, he means for it to be public. God does not intend nowhere for his work in your life to be hid. He desires for others to see it. Why? It goes on in verse 12 to say, he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. Here's why. And they glorified God. The more people sees God's work in your life will cause them to say, wow, God, you're amazing, wonderful, matchless. And the credit goes to God. People who sees nothing, says nothing. But if people can see a difference in your life, and I want to ask myself, and I want to ask you tonight, does people see a difference? Do they know? And the people you're going to have a lot of influence with is going to be people that knew your prior condition. People that knew what shape you were in at one time in your life. And now to see you saved and see your life transformed and see your life changed by the power of God as you walk in front of them, as they hear you talk and they witness your life, they're just going to stand back in total amazement. Amen. And you can't help but cause them to have thoughts about God and thoughts toward God. The truth is, many people will never get saved, if not most people, if not all people, will not get saved until first they see somebody who has been saved. Someone said, I heard it not long ago, said the reason people are not saved today is because they've never seen a Christian. Because if sinner sees what they need walking in front of them, walking around them somewhere at some point in their life, there's going to be a work of God in their heart that's going to say, I want what you got. What is it about you that's different? What is it that turns you around? What is it that, my friend, that's keeping you going? And then you've got a golden opportunity to share what God has done for you. they were amazed. I'm trying to preach on the subject this morning and tonight on amazement or amusement. And we shared a lot of several things in the introduction by way of the difference and so forth. But I want to just look at this text tonight in Mark chapter 2. And I want to just bog in and point out some things about this amazement that I think should strike an interest in our heart. Amazement is spiritual. Amazement is superior to amusements. Amusements is of the world. Amazements is of God. Amusements is fleshly. Amazements is spiritual. And I promise you that there's nothing that this world can produce that will even compare with the amazing things that God has. Absolutely. Amen. God will not let the world outdo Him. Amen. Don't be envious of this world. Don't look on the world with envy saying, boy, I'd like to have that, or I'd like to be that person, or I'd like to live in this place, or I'd like to have these possessions. Don't be envious of the world, because I promise you, amusements will never do for you what amazement will. I want to share about four things. The first thing I want to share in the message tonight, number one, is in the text, there is the experience of amazement. There is the experience of amazement. You will never be amazed at Jesus unless you experience Him. You cannot be amazed at Jesus on hearsay. It has to be firsthand information. You have got to see something. You have got to hear Him. You have got to be exposed to His working. These very people that were amazed in verse 12 had saw and witnessed the work of God. Now I want to share three things that they experienced that I think is necessary. If you're going to be amazed, if I'm going to be amazed, these are three things in the text that they experienced. The first one found in verse number 1, they experienced the presence of Christ. The Bible said there, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Noised that he was in the house. And that's where the encounter took place. That's where the experience took place. I wonder how many of us in this building tonight have experienced or are experiencing the presence of Christ. You'll never be amazed. It don't matter if you're going to the best church in town and you are here tonight. It don't matter, my friend, what's going on in that church for his activities or ministries. It does not matter. You will never be amazed spiritually until you've experienced the presence of Christ. And His presence is to be experienced. His presence can be experienced. He's more than just Jesus in that Bible. And thank God we have a Bible that tells us about Him. All we know about Jesus comes from this book, but I want to tell you, He's a personal Christ. I want to tell you, He's a practical Christ. He is a Jesus and Christ to be experienced as well as enjoyed in your everyday life. And you can experience His presence. Amen? Amen. When you get away from God and you're out of fellowship with Him and you're not really in tune with Him, what happens? You lose that amazement. Why? You got away from His presence. Amen? Amen. So not only, listen, and this of course I believe is the preeminent and elite essential of all. Because without Him, amazement will be impossible and amusement will be the alternative. Churches that have lost the presence of God, of course, what are they going to do? They're going to turn to the alternative, which is amusements and entertainments. So we've got the experience. If we're going to be amazed, we've got to experience the presence of Christ. Number two, verse number two, we've got to experience the preaching of Christ. Look in verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that they were no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And He, Christ, preached the word unto them. Let it be known here tonight that Christ Jesus the Lord was a preacher. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Jesus was a preacher. I want to say it even more accurate. Jesus is a preacher. He still preaches to me. He still preaches His Word to me. He still talks to me. He still preaches to me. Amen. Thank God for Jesus being a preacher. And let me just say right there, the Bible said He preached the Word unto them. Your attitude toward preachers will greatly influence me, or not influence me, but enlighten me as to your thoughts about Jesus. You can't hate preachers and love Jesus, who was a preacher. Amen? That's right. Praise God. Amen. And so there is not only the presence of Christ, there is the preaching of Christ. The amazement of Christ will always be connected with His Word. Does His Word amaze you? Oh, I don't know at the times that in my regular reading, there is what I need. Set beside my bed, we've got, on my side and my wife's side, we've got both a little thing of Bible verses on little cards. And the one that was on my, that we came up for this day, what's today? August 31st. Today, the one that was in my box for today was the exact verse that I needed to fit what I'm going through. I say unto you, the amazement of Christ will always be connected with His Word. If this book don't amaze you, the one that this book is about will not amaze you. If you're born with the Word, you'll be born with Him. Amen. Luke chapter 4 and verse 36, and they were all amazed, saying, "What a word is this?" They said, "What a word is this?" But it said prior to that, and they were all amazed. When they heard the word, they were amazed. Number three, not only is the presence of Christ to be experienced, if you're going to be amazed, the preaching of Christ is to be experienced, if you're going to be amazed. And by the way, unless you are obedient to the Word that He preaches, you will not be amazed. Just the fact that He preaches it is not where the amazement comes in. The amazement comes in when you show respect to Him, that you receive His Word and respond to His Word and obey His Word, and therefore you will be amazed at His Word. Amen? Amen. Thirdly, not only the experiences of His presence and of His preaching, but number three is illustrated in this text, His power. You must experience the power of Christ. If I were to ask tonight how many in this building are saved and you could raise your hand, you're actually saying, "Preacher, I am a witness. I am a testimony. I have experienced the power of Christ." It takes the power of God to save you. You cannot be saved any other way. It takes God to do that. And if you're saved tonight, you are an example of the power of God. Amen. If you'll study the multiple times that the word amazed or amazement or amused, or not amused, but amazed and astonished is other words that's used in the New Testament, same word. And if you study them, you'll find out that all of them are associated with Christ's demonstration. They were amazed when they saw Jesus do something. I'm talking about the experience of amazement. You must experience the power or the activity of Christ if you are to be amazed. No action, no amazement. What's Jesus doing in your life? Young people, I want to say without hesitancy, Jesus Christ wants to do something in your life. He wants to do something with your life. He really does. Amen. No activity, no amazement. Amen. When's the last time you saw Jesus do something in your life? When's the last time, young person, you wanted Him to do something? When's the last time you even asked Him to do something? Amen. All right, let's move on. Not only do we see the experience of amazement, that is, there will be no amazement unless there is some experience. And I tell you, listen, I tell you right now, friend, we've not preached it enough that God is and can be experienced. When God, when the Paul wrote in a lot of the New Testament, he wrote the word know. You've heard me tell this, the word know, that I may know Him, Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. He's writing that as a saved person. And he said that I may know Him. That is, that I may experience Him. God can be experienced. And your amazement in your life will come when you experience God. When you experience Christ in His presence and His preaching and in His power. But number two, can I mention this out of the text? Not only is there the experience of amazement that I see here, but also there is the enemies of amazement. The enemies of amazement. Look at verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And Jesus go on and dealt with them, and that same crowd saw the miraculous power of God, but they were not amazed. Why? They were too critical. They were too judgmental. Because what, and another thing too, that Jesus was doing things that went cross grain with their false teaching. And they believed what they leaned to their doctrine versus believing Jesus. Can I say this to all of you young people? Not everybody is going to be amazed. Not everybody's going to be amazed. Some were critical and judgmental and making efforts even to fight against the work of Christ. They weren't amazed. They saw the same miracle. They saw the same man raised from a paralyzed condition and my friend walk in front of everybody. But instead of being amazed, they were an enemy. They fought against it. They criticized it. They made fun of it. So young people, can I tell you, not everybody's going to be for you. Not everybody's going to be amazed. Some people will make light of what you're excited about. Some people will make fun of what you're so fired up about. You love Jesus, everybody's not going to love Him. There'll be some people make fun of you if you love Jesus and you seek to live for Him. Amen? What amazes some aggravates others. Amen? Amen, that's right. Listen, some never get in on the amazement because they're too busy noticing something negative or something that they don't agree with. They could have gotten in on it. They could have been, my friend, as excited and they could have been as amazed as anybody else, but they couldn't get in on it. And I've seen that in church. I've seen God move in mighty power in church and people not get in on it. Why? Because, well, multiple reasons could play into that. You know, maybe crossed up with the preacher, crossed up with somebody in the church or out of fellowship with God. Who knows? Being multiple things. Amen. This is what got my attention. This crowd that were enemies of amazement saw and heard the same things that the others had saw and heard. The others that were amazed. I guess you could say if you're going to be amazed about Jesus, the choice is yours. If you're going to be amazed about Jesus, it won't be just the fact that you're in the vicinity of where Jesus is working and where Jesus is preaching and where Jesus is doing something. You can be all around that and still not be getting in on it.
Right. Amen.
Amen. As was illustrated with these people right here. Let me point out a few other things. Some folks will even find fault with Jesus. Amen. The enemies did not get in on or experience the amazement. But here's what I want to point out. Neither did they stop others from being amazed. That crowd that was negative, that crowd that said, you know, was judgmental, that crowd that, my friend, wasn't amazed, they were more agitated and aggravated and irritated instead of being amazed. But you know what it did? It did not stop the others from being amazed. People can be all around you and make fun of your devotion to Christ and your dedication to Christ, and they can see and hear the same things you are, and my friend, but it will not stop you from getting in on it. So don't blame others for your condition. Don't blame others for your, my friend, your coldness. Here's a crowd around another crowd, and they're judgmental and aggravated and critical. But yet, on the other hand, here's some believers that are excited.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Some will make light of what amazes you. Family members. Spiritual amazements that you enjoy and look forward to day after day and week after week. And want to be a part of a church that's exciting and got amazements in it. Amen. There'll be family members and there'll be friends and there'll be work associates and there'll be people in the neighborhood, my friend, that'll make light of what you're excited about. And there's only one reason for that. They've never tasted what you've tasted. They hadn't experienced what you experienced. How could anybody experience the power and the presence and the preaching of Christ and, my friend, be turned off by it? So there will be enemies of amazement. I think young people need to know that. We don't want to give these young people a false impression that if you sell out and surrender to God that everybody in town is going to be for it. We do not want to give you the impression, my friend, tonight that if you surrender to God, your friends will be for you. We want you to know that if you surrender to God and you want to seek your soul satisfaction in Him, my friend, there'll be times that people that may even love you don't understand and will criticize. So not only we see the experience of amazement, the enemies of amazement, but number three, I want to point out the expression of amazement. The expression or the effects of amazement. That is simply, you cannot be amazed and stay quiet about it. You can't be amazed and be silent. But look in verse 12, and immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were glorified God, were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. What were they doing? They were testifying. They were testifying, amen? Well, I like that. They saw something, and then they said something. Could it be that a lot of people are never saying anything because they're not ever seeing anything? You can't see something and not say something. Amen? A lot of people say, I'm bashful, I'm backwards preacher, I'm this, that, and the other. Well, I'd say if somebody gave you $1 million, you wouldn't be too bashful. See, it's not a matter of bashfulness, it's a matter of what object it'd take to get you out of it. What kind of an object or what kind of an experience would be required to get you to open your mouth? Amen. Amen. And for us that are saved, we've already been given the greatest gift that could ever be given. Look at the price that it costs to purchase it. You can tell you the value of something, but what it cost. Somebody give you something that didn't cost nothing won't mean much. But if somebody had to sacrifice to give you something, and you knew that it cost them a lot or cost them a great deal, it's going to mean something to you because you know the sacrifice behind it. You know the cost behind it. Lord, help us, amen. Look at the cost of our salvation. It didn't cost God a lot. It cost God everything. God gave everything so you can be saved and experience and enjoy Him. Oh yes, you better believe our mouth ought to be open about it. We ought to be wanting to cry from the housetop and from the mountaintops that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen. The expression. No experience gives way to no expression. They had to tell it. They had to testify. Can I say this tonight, moving on? Silence is not spirituality. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about being a motor mouth. I'm not talking about being a loud mouth. Amen. Amen. I believe the Bible talks about studying to be quiet and all that. I believe that. Amen. In fact, I'll just be honest with you. You can go in the book of Proverbs and you can identify a person that's loose with their morals if they're loud with their mouth.
Right. Amen.
Amen. A person that cannot control their tongue will not be able to control their morals. If they're a loud mouth somebody and always a blabbing all the time and can't never seem to shut up, you better watch that person. Say amen right there. Come on. Amen. You know, always got to be the center of the conversation. Always got to be talking. Always got to be blabbing. Amen. You better watch that person. If they can't control their mouth, they won't control their morals. Amen. I don't have to go on that. But listen, I believe this. God wants us to tell it. Amen. God wants us to tell it. Listen. Amen. Listen, I believe God wants us to tell it in testimony. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. Did not the testimonies of the young people tonight that testified and others, Brother Rob, the testimonies there, did that not bless you? Glory to God. Now, if you got a complaint session and a criticizing session, amen, giving a doctor's report and what the chiropractor said, I don't want to hear that either, amen. I mean, you can tell me that personally, preacher, pray for me, this is what the doctor said, but when you get an opportunity to stand and give a word of testimony, don't take that golden, as Brother David says, golden opportunity that you would have to bring praise publicly to the Lord, give God glory, magnify Him, and use that opportunity to whine around about some physical or financial issue. I was preaching revival about four weeks ago in Statesville. And it got out of the banks one night. And the pastor, there was people testifying and stuff, and I mean, it was on. I didn't get to preach that night. And he didn't do it to everybody, but there would be certain ones when they'd stand up before they'd ever open their mouth. He would say from the pulpit in front of about 400 people. Big church. That's big to me anyway. 400 people. And he'd say to them, now, he called her name, a sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. Now, we don't want to hear nothing except about Jesus. Now, you brag on Jesus now. They're just standing there. You know, they stood up and they're getting ready to testify and the pastor's giving them. Now, you tell us about Jesus. Now, you brag on Jesus. We don't hear nothing except about Jesus. But he didn't do that to everybody, and that got my attention. After the service, I said, "Brother, why did you say that to certain ones and not the others?" He said, "Because those certain ones, if I don't tell them that, they're subject to give a financial report. They're subject to give a doctor's report. They'll tell you in detail of every ailment and every sickness and every dread and fear. And before you know it, the whole church is sick." I'm talking about just denying yourself. And all of us in this building, we could all stand up and tell something negative. We all could stand up and say, this has bothered me, and I've got this pressure, and I've got this problem, and I've got this difficulty. We all could do that. But what will bring glory to God is when we deny the opportunity to say something about ourselves and say, I want, like Brother Ed Gillum did. Classic example. Dying with cancer. Eat up with pain. Come to church so sick he couldn't even hold his head up. Many times would lay down on the pew. And he would testify that I want everybody to know God is good. God is good. Amen. And all of us people knew that the shape he was in. And don't you think he had some other things he could probably have told us? But no, he didn't. He took that, what little energy he had, what little breath he had. He wanted to use that to tell everybody publicly, one more time, this side of the grave, God is good. And I'm going to tell you, it blessed every person in the house. Blessed every person in the house. I'm talking about the expression of amazement. You go in a church and they're never testifying, never testifying, never praising God, never bragging on Jesus. That's a person that's not living with amazements. That's a person that's living for amusements. Listen to a person talk. They'll tell you what's on their heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12, what is it, verse 42? I know it's Matthew 12. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Listen to what somebody talks about. They can talk a lot and Jesus never comes out or nothing about God ever comes out. Something's wrong with that. Amen. Something is wrong with that. Amen. Sinners talks about sin. What should saints talk about? The world talks about worldly things. What should Christians talk about? Amen. Sad part of it is Christians, most professing Christians today, a lot of them are talking about the same thing the world's talking about. They're excited about the same things the world's excited about. And therefore the world don't see the difference. They don't see the need of being different because they think they already got what you've got because you and them are talking about the same thing. So there's the expression of amazement. And then I'd like to close tonight. Number four, I want to talk about the extension or the expansion of amazement. I seen this, Brother Henry, I tell you what's the truth. It blessed me. I couldn't understand it. Look in verse 12. Immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, notice this, we never saw it on this fashion. These people had been saved. These people probably, no doubt, had experienced various other teachings or miracles of Christ. But here they're saying, we're seeing something we've never seen before. They're saying we're experiencing something that beats anything that we've ever been in already. What are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying that Brother God has the ability, my friend, to not duplicate, but to originate. God, my friend, can go beyond anything that you've ever experienced in your life. Think about how good you've already seen it and had it and experienced God. My friend, God can surpass that. He's not limited to just do the same thing over and over. God can amaze you. My friend, after I've been saved 27 years, God can amaze me to the point that I say, I've never seen it like that before. I say glory to God. Amen. Amen. What they had, what they were amazed about, they testified, though they'd been saved a while, they testified, we never saw it like this. You know what they're saying? God took us to another level. God did something that, my friend, more than what we've seen already. What we've seen already, we praise Him for. We thank Him for what He's already done. But God can expand amazement. God can extend amazement to where you can say all through your Christian life, I ain't never seen it like that before. God is not limited. He can take you further. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me say something. That's what keeps Christianity from becoming boring. Christianity will become boring unless you are increasing in your experience with Christ. And as you increase in your experience with Christ, you also increase in your amazements. See, the world can't do that. Amusements is the same old, same old, same old. But amazements with God, He's unlimited. He doesn't have boundaries. Amen? He'll never come to the place to where He says to you, I can't do no more. Amen. He'll never come to the place where He looks at you and shakes His head and say, I'm sorry, I've done pulled it all out of the bag. This is everything that I can do. This is everything that I have. Oh no, friend. He can still take you to the levels. He can take you, my friend, into realms where He can say to you or you can say to Him, I've never saw it like this before. Amen. I like that, don't you? He'll never tell you, that's it. That was all of it. No more. You're like, wait till you get to heaven now. No. Amazements for the believer can be extensive and expansive. It can expand and get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. God's people can always be saying, wow. God's people can always, my friend, if you're trying to walk with God now, you're not going to have these amazements if you're distant from the Lord. You're not going to have these amazements from God if you're wanting to share God with amusements. God's not going to share His amazements with anybody that's got a double life. with anybody that's straddling the fence and trying to get the best of two worlds. But if anybody will do just like He called the disciples and He said, come and follow Me. And you know what they did? They forsook their nets. They threw their nets down, amen, and went with Jesus. And you know what happened to that crew, my friend, that throwed their nets down? And my friend said, we're going with God. We're not going to try to have the best of both worlds. We're not going to try to fit in with both. We're going with Jesus, sink or swim. We're going with Jesus. It wasn't long after that same ones that throwed their nets down was on the Mount of Transfiguration seeing glory like they'd never heard or even seen it before. In fact, it was so good. You know what Peter said, Brother David? Peter said, God, this is so good. Let's build three tabernacles and just hang out up here. But had they kept a hold of their nets and said, you know, we ain't going to turn loose of this. We're not going to turn loose of this. They'd have never experienced that. Amen. When God deals with you, let me just say something to you right here, all of us. When God deals with you about quitting something or giving up something, we ought not to ever bat an eye. We ought not to hesitate. You know why? But God's wanting to replace it. God will never want you to give up something, quit something, put it aside. But what He has not got something bigger and better and more wonderful and more precious and more pure to put in its place. Amen. Amen. Listen to this and I'm done. Amusements is only earthly. If you get that, you're liable to go, whoop! You're liable to shout. You're liable to shout if you get this in your mind, amusements is only earthly. There'll be none of it in heaven. Y'all heard me say this before, a lot of what people are excited about now will end at the grave. A lot of what people are enthused about now in this world, my friend, will not go beyond the grave when they draw their last breath. All of their amusement stops. They live for money. That stops at the grave. Amen. Live for possessions. That stops at the grave. They live for popularity. That stops at the grave. They live for pleasures. That stops at the grave. Amusements are limited to this world only. But amazements don't stop at the grave. Amen. Amazements are heavenly. And it's not only that we enjoy it here and now, but that we get to enjoy it in the hereafter, praise God. That's right. I thought about this, Brother Mike. I thought about the amusements. My friend, there's a lot of things that could happen in your life that would cause it to no longer be an amusement. You could have financial reversement to where you couldn't afford to go to wherever it is or do whatever it is that amuses you. So financial reversement could hinder amusements. Go to the doctor and you get a bad report. All of a sudden the physical is in bad shape. Guess what? That can hinder your amusements. Because physically you might not be able to go to it or do or ride it or see it or enjoy it or whatever. So finances could stop it. Your physical breakdown, a physical breakdown could stop it. And death could stop it. Or here's you another one. Lord, I just thought of this one. Not only could you lose out financially and not be able to have no more amusements, physically you could get in a shape where you have no more amusements. Number three, the amusement itself could tear up. The amusement itself could go out of business. Amen. And then there you are. Still got money, still physically able, but then the amusement's tore up. Yeah. Or number four, you could draw your last breath and certainly amusements will end then for sure. But not so with amazements. The amazement, can we get this, young people? Can we get this, moms and dads? The amazements that's available in Christ, guess what? It don't matter if you got a dime to your name. It don't matter, my friend, the shape you are in physically. And we don't have to worry about it tearing up. And it won't stop if we die. I think it's a good choice of all of us if we'd get hooked up with amazements versus amusements. Amusements are temporary. Amazements are eternal. What are you going to be shouting about 10 million years from now as a believer? Think about it. What are you going to be excited about 10 million years from now as a believer? Would it be anything you've done, rode, seen, had in earthly? The only thing you'll be excited about will be the amazements that you enjoyed here. Why don't we get hooked up with it now? Why do we? I'm asking why. Why do we spend so much time with goals or ambitions that we know is limited to this life only? Why do we do that? We all do it. It's not a matter of do we do it. We all do that. To some point or another, we all do that. Why do you worry? Are you worrying about amazements? No. You're worrying about something that's here. Something that's in this life. Isn't that right? But amazements can be experienced both here and the hereafter. Listen, amazements is not economical. It don't matter what happens to the economy. It has nothing to do with you enjoying and experiencing God. Lord only knows what's going to happen in our country. Lord only knows. Here in the next near short future, Lord only knows. And He does know. And He's not worried tonight. Are you living for the here and now? Or are you living for Jesus? Amusements versus amazements. They're enemies. They'll never find a common ground. Listen, and they will never share in the same life. It's either or. We want young people to know this world's fuel comes off of amusement. And that, listen, you say, preacher, is it successful? Oh, I think it's evident. You can look and see how successful it is. Young people by the thousands hooked on amusements. You can go to church after church after church, and you might find 1 out of 100 young people, a young man or a young lady, 1 out of 100, maybe even higher odds than that, that's hooked on amazements. That's sold out to God, surrendered to God, praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Here's my life. Use it as you see fit. I'm yours. Lock, stock, and barrel, I'm yours. What keeps a lot of lost people... Let me ask you this. What keeps a lot of lost people lost? Amusements. Pleasures. Things that they know they'll have to give up or quit. I dealt with a young person one time that came to the altar in the church. And I believe that before that young person ever left the pew, they intended on getting saved. I believe it was really on their mind. But somewhere between the pew and the time that I dealt with them in this church in the altar, they changed their mind. They changed their mind. I felt it. I felt it in my heart. I felt it that they was drawing back. And I kept stressing, you better mean it. If you don't mean it, it don't matter if you do pray. It don't matter if you stand up and tell everybody you got saved or not. It don't matter. You better mean it. I kept stressing that because I sensed in my heart that they was counting the cost and was pulling back. Well, they went on with the prayer and they went on with standing up and telling everybody they got saved. Never did really do much for God. But I asked them a long time after that, I asked that person. I want to tell you what I think happened, and I want you to tell me if I'm right or if I'm 40 miles wrong, out in left field. And I told the person what I just told you, and I said, am I right? And they said, you're exactly right. I said, well, what happened? I said, when I got over, I got to think about what I was going to have to give up. I got to think about what I was going to quit. I thought about what I couldn't no longer do and all this, and I backed up. What is keeping lost people lost? Amusements, entertainment, things of this world. Amen. Some preachers are afraid to preach pretty stout because they're afraid to keep that sinners will not want to be saved. They'll not preach repentance. They'll not preach that. Why? Because they're afraid that sinners won't want to get saved. Let me tell you something. If God deals with a sinner like He's capable of doing, showing them that they're lost in one breath from hell, are you listening? And no guarantees that God will ever deal with them again. I'll tell you, friend, you won't scare them off. They'll want to get saved no matter what. They'll want to get saved no matter what. Amen? What's standing between you and being saved? You that are not saved, what's standing between you and being saved? There's always something. In my experience, listen, I'm trying, wind her down here. In my experience, there's always something. When you find somebody you're dealing with and they are hesitant about being saved, they don't want to get saved, they're always delaying getting saved, there's something in their life that's a stronghold. It may be a relationship, it may be some kind of a habit, it may be some kind of a pleasure of some sort, it may even be an individual, somebody, something in their life. One, it's usually one thing that's hindering them. What, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, what is in between you and getting saved? Whatever it is or whoever it is, I promise you it's not worth it. It's amusements. It's amusements. It's not worth a dime. You better get saved by the grace of God and start following Jesus. And by the way, saved people are followers of Christ. And get hooked in. If you ever get hooked up with amazements. And listen, it could happen in a service. Your first experience with the amazements of Christ, it could happen in a service. It could happen in a prayer meeting. Brother Jacob testified, I believe, one of the very first times that God ever touched him and filled him. Was it over there in that corner? We was having a Saturday night prayer meeting here at the church and a few folks showed up and we just kind of just scattered out and prayed. Brother Dave, was you here that night? You came to several of them. Anyway, Brother Jacob was over there and I think I was up there in that room and some other people's back through yonder and I'm telling you, it got foggy in here. The power of God come in this place. The glory of God hovered in this place and I'm telling you, it got on. It got beyond a shout. It got beyond a run and a jump. It got out there in the glory. And Brother Jacob got runt that night. Amen. Did it? That was amazement. That was amazement. You can be amazed, and I can too, if you want to be. If you want to pursue God with intimacy and affection and with your attention and your focus, you can be amazed. God, I want to say it, as I said it this morning, saying it again to close the service, God can still amaze you. You don't have to go to church bored out of your mind. You don't have to go supposedly serve God with a long, sad face and just a drudgery to go to church. No, there's amazements for you. If you'll get into the conditions and the realm of amazement, God can pour it on you to where you'll constantly say, I ain't never seen it like this before. Let's all stand to our feet.